Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm and I'm so grateful that you're here. Thanks to everybody for listening and welcome to all of the new subscribers. So today, what I want to talk with you about is, what to expect when you book a meet and greet with the doctors. And the reason that I'm talking to you about this is because it's been quite a topic in the Australian Counsellors in Private Practice online group this week. And so I just thought that it might be super duper helpful for me to explain a little bit about, how you can best prepare. Now, this podcast episode builds on from previous ones that I've done for you about, what to say, what materials to take, what materials to leave at home, how to approach the doctors in the meeting and things like that. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, please go back and listen to that if you're planning on meeting with doctors, or even if you've been meeting with them but haven't been getting the conversions. A conversion is referrals in this case, or inquiries from potential clients. So today I just want to talk about a different aspect of those meetings because I understand that there's a lot of confusion about them. I guess before we even begin with that, though, I do want you to really think about whether or not it's appropriate or relevant, is probably a better word, for you to even be meeting with the doctors in the first place. Remember, based on whatever it is that you work with, it may not even be appropriate or relevant for you to go and have a conversation with doctors, okay? So really, just take a moment to step back and think, why am I thinking that I need to be talking to them? And I bet you it's because you're seeing that other people are going, other counsellors are going and talking to doctors. Now, here's the thing, counsellors. You are not psychologists or social workers, as you're well aware, and therefore you are not on the Medicare model. The reality is that doctors tend to refer to people who are working within the medical model and who are eligible with their clients for their clients to receive rebates. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to get a referral from a doctor. You absolutely can. But there are ways and means to do that. And you need to understand from the beginning, if you're going to a doctor clinic saying that you help with anxiety and depression, it's unlikely. I mean, sure, there are going to be exceptions to the rule, but generally a doctor is going to refer to a mental health social worker or a psychologist for those sorts of things. Likewise, if the thing that you're working with has nothing to do with somebody's health, probably question why am I wanting to go and speak to a doctor about this? Doctors are probably not going to be your source of referral, in which case don't waste your time, don't waste theirs. Go and focus your energy where your audience is likely to be spending their time. But for those of you who would like to go and have a conversation with the doctor, regardless of what your background is, there are some things that can be really, really helpful for you to know. So first off, when you've booked the meeting with the doctor, you are not going to be able to meet with them in before work or after work or anything like that. You will be meeting with the doctor in the lunch break. And the reason for that is simple. It's because your doctors cannot and do not want to sacrifice billable time for you to do a sales pitch, right? They are not going to pay for you to do your sales pitch to them. They will give you their lunchtime. Now, if you're booking in with a big medical clinic and there's a whole bunch of doctors there and things like that, you need to understand that you are not going to be doing a big PowerPoint presentation or no, that's not how it works. You will be required to cater lunch, okay? Now, it's usually up to you what you take, but as somebody who did these damn meetings for so long, and I'm not a fan of them, that's a whole other story, but for somebody who did these meetings for a long time, over a number of years, I can give you the shortcuts. Don't make the same mistakes I did. So I'll tell you, when I first booked one, I was told that I had to cater for the lunch, right? Now, I was just starting out and catering, like, what's that? Where do you even go for catering and all of this sort of stuff? I happened to choose a great big super clinic in Frankston that had 20 odd doctors in it, right? So all of a sudden, I'm running around Frankston trying to figure out on the fly where am I going to go to get all this catering done. And I ended up going to a cafe. That was my first mistake. So I went to a cafe. It cost me about $200 for all these sandwiches. And I didn't know what I was getting or what I was doing. So I just got mixed platter of sandwiches and I got a fruit tray. Now, the other thing was I also had a whole lot of marketing stuff, right, including business cards and flyers and brochures and all of this. So it was a real pain to have to take all of this stuff into the medical practice in the first place. I was nervous and excited and, yeah, really looking forward to having this meeting. When I go to the medical clinic, they tell me, oh, you have to go around and set up in the lunchroom. And they take me down there and they just leave me to my own devices in the lunchroom. So I lay everything out. I get the serviettes out. I get paper plates out. Like I've gone the whole nine yards, right? Anyway, I'm standing at the table because in my mind, I think it's rude to be sitting down. So I'm standing up at the table. I've got all my pens, my sticky notes, everything spread out in amongst their sandwiches and stuff. And it's 1 o'clock and I'm waiting for 25 doctors to turn up. Because nobody told me how this works. No, I had, right, my own ideas. I thought I was going to be speaking to a group of 25 doctors. No, it's not what happened. What happened was only 5 of them were on that day, not 20 odd, as I'd been told. Only 5 were on. They all had staggered lunch breaks. I had allocated half an hour. I saw 2 doctors. One of them didn't even talk to me. It was really rude. Just sort of came in, took a sandwich, said, who are you? I was able to say who I was and, you know, that I was a psychologist and everything. And they just said, oh, yeah, we've already got a psychologist that we refer to. And she walked out, right? It was really rude. Really disrespectful. The other doctor that came in, he took a sandwich and then started picking at it and said that, you know, he only ate halal food and where was the halal? And I said, oh, well, I didn't know that there were dietary requirements. And to be honest with you, I hadn't even considered dietary requirements. I was just like so young and green. I was just whatever. And anyway, then he got the, you know, what, he was not happy with me because I didn't get halal food. And so he turned on his heel and left. And then I kind of didn't know what to do after that. And I was just, I waited and waited and waited and nobody else turned up. It was really awkward, really uncomfortable. I needed to go to the loo by this stage. I was starting to get mad. I went out to reception and I said to the girls, where are the other doctors? They told me the doctors were consulting. And I said, well, what am I going to do? And they said, well, your meeting's finished, you know? And I was like, oh, but in my mind, I didn't really have a meeting. Anyway, I didn't know what to do. And it was so awkward. I went back down this really long corridor into the kitchen and I packed up my handbag And I thought, what am I going to do like with all of this food? And like, what's the etiquette? Do I wrap it up and take it home? Do I leave it there? Do I bring back my pens? Because, you know, I got all these pens off Vista Print and they were expensive back in the day. I was thinking, do I keep my pens and save them for the next time I've got to do one of these things? Or like, what's the go here? And then I thought, nah, maybe that's rude. And so I just left everything there and I went out to my car and just cried because I thought, this was so not what I expected. It was really disrespectful. Like, how come no one told me it was going to be like this? Now, what happened after that was it was in my own marketing plan to build my practice to go and have these meetings 3 times a month. Now, I can tell you as somebody who had these meetings 3 times a month, they're often pretty much like that. Often, not all of the time, but like 70% of the time, the doctors are disinterested in why you're there. They just want to come and grab a sandwich and go back to consulting. They will often say, do you bulk bill? And if you're counseling, obviously you don't. As a psychologist, maybe you don't either. Some of them will say, you know, do you deal with crisis? Well, I don't deal with crisis. That's not my thing. So I was able to give them information about crisis centers. But yeah, and then that was pretty much my experience. So just like really unpleasant to do. And, you know, I wouldn't wish them on my worst enemy. That they're that demoralizing. It can be really, really hard. So you've got to have an awareness before you go in that the reality is these doctors are not going to sit down with you for longer than 5 minutes. They're going to be eating, which is awkward because you're not. They're going to be drinking, which is awkward because you're not. You can go and get a glass of water, but you've only got their attention for a couple of minutes. And part of that attention has already gone because they're focused on food. And so you're talking at them instead of with them. And this is the issue. When we talk at people, what do you think happens for that person? They put a wall up because nobody wants to be sold to, especially on their 15 minutes in a whole day of downtime. So this is why you need to listen to that other podcast episode that I recorded for you a little while ago on what to say at those GP meetings so that you can increase your conversions and get the referrals, because there's a way of doing this and there's a way of stuffing it up. And unless you know how to do it, you're going to stuff it up. You're going to waste your money. It can be really expensive. What I've learned from catering as well is when you speak to the practice manager, so it doesn't matter how you're booking these times, but you always want to phone. So if you've booked the time into their diary, you know you're going out there next week. Ring ahead, ring the practice manager and just say, hey, you know, my name's Brooklyn. I'm coming out there to do a lunch meet and greet on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. I just want to check how many doctors will be on site. Don't ask how many doctors are there at the clinic because they'll tell you there's 30. But you know, only 5 could be rostered on that day. So don't waste your money on platters for 30 when there might only be 5. Lesson learned, right? So ask them, how many doctors are at the clinic? How many will be on that day? All right. And only cater for how many are going to be on that day. You don't have to get food for the practice manager and the receptionist and the nurse and stuff like that. Just for the doctors. Ask, are there any dietary requirements? Or ask, what do the doctors usually like, or what is normally delivered? And that will give you another idea so that you don't waste your money. But if you don't want to ask that question, my big tip for you is head out to Subway, ask for vegetarian wraps cut in half, get 5 of them. That way you've got 10 half vegetarian wraps, and get them to throw some fruit on the plate or something. Or get a falafel wrap or something like that. That's the easiest way that you can do it. The other thing that you can do is you can go to the supermarket. Just go to the deli section, like where there's fruit, and ask them, do you have a platter? And a lot of the time they will have fruit that's chopped up in containers, and you can just, you know, spread it out on a platter yourself when you get to the medical practice, or you can just take a few tubs of chopped fruit with you or something like that. So you don't have to spend more than about $30 up to about $50 on your catering, and keep your receipts because you'll want to tax deduct those. So be clear that you're probably only going to have people with you for a very short space of time. Do be mindful of dietary requirements. Make sure you cover all bases. Do take fruit if you can. I wouldn't worry, you know, about muffins and this and that. It's, you know, they're not going to eat a muffin for lunch and you're not going to get there at morning tea or afternoon tea or anything like that. It just doesn't happen in those big medical clinics. Apart from working, you want to go to a big medical clinic because that's where you're more likely to get referrals due to the volume of patients that are coming through needing help and support. The other option is go to small mum and dad clinics, right? Where there's only like two or three doctors and they're there all the time. Go to those clinics because they can certainly sit down with you sometimes for a bit longer because they don't have the volume of traffic, foot traffic coming through of people needing urgent appointments and things like that. They tend to manage their time differently to big clinics because they're not working to the same KPIs, right? Usually when it's a mum and dad clinic or there's only two or three practitioners there, they're usually all partners. And so they're not under the same time pressure to be billing. So they usually don't have big waiting rooms full of people who should have been seen 2 hours ago who still haven't yet been seen. So you go and arrange a time to meet with them. But again, listen to that previous episode that I recorded for you on what to say, how to say it, because there is a strategy. If you just go there and you're all about self-promotion, you're not going to get a single referral. Trust me, I've seen it. As someone who's coached people in private practice for years, as someone who mentored people in private practice for years, I taught people how to go and have these meetings. I observed my trainees go and have these meetings. There's a right way and a wrong way. And I want you to be able to feel confident knowing that the way you do it is going to be effective, and you've got to have your head right, okay? If you're going to be taking things personally, if you're going to be fragile, if you're going to be sensitive, if you're going to be easily upset, maybe do some mindset work before you go, because some of these doctors, for all kinds of different reasons, maybe they're busy, maybe they're having a bad day, maybe there's cultural things going on, but sometimes, or probably a lot of the time, they can come off as abrasive, and it can be very easy for you to be disheartened, upset, deflated, not love it. As you know, I cried in my car more than once after these meetings. Doctors aren't like us. We in our industry tend to be very giving, tend to be very caring. We want to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. We like to see things from their point of view. We like to be caring and have compassion and all of those sorts of beautiful things. But doctors march to the beat of a different drum because they're in a medical model, okay? They're looking for solutions and problems. The last thing they want to do is be pitched to. So don't go there and take all your marketing stuff, right? Learn from my mistakes. That's the if you want to stop yourself receiving a referral, go down there with your business cards and your flyers, right? Just don't. As I said, listen to that other episode that I recorded for you where it goes into a lot of detail about how to have those meetings successfully and what you need to do as part of your aftercare from these meetings, because that's the other thing. I never knew, no one ever told me, no one ever taught me. You need to keep a relationship going. You can't just go once and expect that, you know, tomorrow you're going to receive all these referrals, because it does not happen. The way that you get the referrals is by building a relationship. And if you don't know how doctors work, and if you don't know their model of private practice, because the models are different, whether they're in a small clinic you know, a family clinic, a women's clinic, a big super clinic, the models of practice are different. And if you don't understand how those models of practice work, you're not going to be able to get those referrals coming, and you will have wasted your time, your energy, and your money when you could have been doing something else that was going to be more likely to bring in the referrals that are perfect for you. Okay. So can these meetings work? Absolutely they can, but you need to know what to say and how to say them. You've got to have a strategy before you go in. You've got to have a strategy on the day, and you've got to have your aftercare strategy, right? So it's not just you book a lunch and then you wait for referrals. There's a process, there's a strategy. So now that you've got these two episodes, you're absolutely going to be better prepared than I was, that many of us were, when we went and started having our meetings. Okay. There's more to this, of course, that I discuss and support my coaching clients with. So if you know, getting these referrals from clinics is how you want to go with your practice and you're struggling with it, then absolutely jump onto my website. Hang on, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry about that. Then absolutely jump onto my website and have a look. A mentoring program might work for you. A coaching program might work for you. Perhaps even a supervision program might work for you. Even if you're not ready to start something now because it's the end of the year and everything, at least book your place so that you can start next year when you're ready. You can start in February if you want, but book your place now because the fees for all of those services increase on the 1st of January, all right? And wouldn't it be great if you could start early next year at this year's price? Yep. Anyway, I'll look forward to seeing you. I've got my link to my diary for your complimentary call in the show notes. So feel free to come along, have a complimentary call. Let's look at where you're at with your GP meet and greets. I promise I'm not going to sell you anything, and you can leave that call knowing what your next step is, okay, so that this can be super duper successful for you. Alrighty, have a wonderful Saturday. Best of luck with it all. Let me know how you all go, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.